Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are always there. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Lord, we need to hear from you right now. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Lord, how amazed we are, how wonderful it is to be able to hold in our hand the word of God. How wonderful it is, Lord, to have copies of it in abundance, Lord, that at any time we can hear from you, we can open your word and let you speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for making that possible. And we need to hear from you right now, Lord. You've given us a great promise in Jeremiah 33:3. Lord, that there are these secret, these unsearchable things that we don't know. And you challenge us to call on you so that you can answer us. Lord, move me aside. Help us to hear your voice right now. And not me. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Call to me, and I will answer. That's what God tells us. That's the title of this message today. I want you to imagine for just a minute that maybe you lived on some land. Maybe you bought some land in Texas, let's say. And you were living on this land in Texas. And let's say actually you inherited it. And you had very little money. And so you basically lived in a shack on this land. And everything was a struggle. Just getting into the city was a struggle. The car was always broken down. Struggling financially all the time. A difficult life. And you lived, let's say, 70 years on this land. And one day, someone came to your door and said, we've determined that this plot of land right here may have a significant amount of oil beneath the surface here. We would like to be able to dig here. And so here's all the contracts, and if you'll allow us to do this, here's the money. You own the land. And let's just say that sure enough, they found oil. And they found a lot of oil. Billions and billions of dollars was what your... Well, we'll say millions. Millions and millions of dollars is what your land was actually worth that you were living on. And all that time you had been thinking you just couldn't make it from paycheck to paycheck. And all that you truly owned, all that was beneath you. Well, there are some incredible things beneath the surface. Just like in the story, you didn't know about that oil. There are some incredible things in your life that pertain to you that God is waiting to tell you. There are some wonderful things. There are some wonderful blessings that you don't know about, that are just beneath the surface in your spiritual life. God has a message for you today. Turn with me to Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 9. Jeremiah 33, 1. God tells us this. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the men I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. God has a message for you this morning. Here's His message to you this morning. He would say this to you and to me. When you're in a prison, that's the first part of His message to you this morning. When you are in a prison, look at verse 1a. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. This was a time that Jeremiah had been imprisoned by King Zedekiah. He found himself in this prison. But what about you this morning? What prison do you find yourself in today? Could be a prison of drugs. Could be a prison of alcohol. Could be an eating disorder. Could be a sinful habit. It could be a financial prison of debt. Could be religion, void of relationship. You may find yourself being very religious, but just feeling like you just can't connect to God. Just relationship. You could have a prison of habits. Steve Brown taught a conference one time that I attended, and I loved it, loved the teaching, and this was the book from the conference. It's called Born Free, and it reminded me of the prisons we can be in as Christians. In the contents, he's got listed Christians in prison. The 12 most common Christian prisons. Then you flip over to page 7. I want to share with you. Maybe you'll identify with some of these. Maybe you're in one or more of these Christian prisons. Here they are. Prisons of what we do, first of all. There's the prison of sin. I want you to listen to these and examine yourself as the Scripture tells us in Lamentations and see if you're in any of these prisons. The prison of sin. The prison of guilt. The prison of failure. Well, then there's a category of prisons of what we think. There's the prison of the past. There's the prison of self-abasement. Oh, I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. Can't do anything right. Everything I do, I fail. There's the prison of perfectionism. Then there's prisons of how we relate to others. There's the prison of fear. There's the prison of approval. That need for approval. There's the prison of obligation. You always feel obligated to do for others. Then there's prisons of how others control us. There's the prison of rules. There's the prison of religion. And that's not relationship. That's just being religious. Having your to-do list. And there's the prison of gurus. What prison are you in this morning? God says to you this morning, when you're in a prison, secondly, listen for my voice. Listen for my voice. In verse 1b, we find that Jeremiah was confined in the courtyard of the guard, and the word of the Lord came to him a second time. While he was in prison, the word of the Lord came to him. When you're in a prison, listen for my voice, God would tell you. Well, where's his voice? It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. If you're in any of these prisons, if you're held captive by something, listen to His Word. Go to the Word of God. There's so many different forms of the Word of God. You can read it. You can listen to it. You can go online if you like being on the computer and listen or read online. Some people can do it on their phone now. There's many ways to hear the Word of God, to go to the Word of God. There's radio in your car. There's television. Many ways and many forms of the Word of the Lord. Listen for my voice, God says. And so the question then comes, how often do I listen to it? How often do you listen to it? The Word of God. You know, we need to be like sponges. And I forgot my sponge. I think it's in the car. But I have a little water here, so you can just imagine. But that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to be saturated in the Word of God. Especially if you're in prison. But all the time, we need to be saturated. You need to be like a sponge. I'm not going to pour it because I don't have a sponge. But a little water here, a little bit of the Word here, and we absorb it up. And then we go and we go to church. We hear a sermon a little more. Then we go home and we read some Scripture a little more. And we turn on the radio a little more. And slowly we're getting more and more saturated with the Word of God. And we're soaking it up. And then it's only natural when you have a sponge that's full of water, what do you need to do with it? You need to squeeze it out. And as you saturate yourself in God's Word, not only is He going to set you free from all your prisons, but He's going to send you out. And He's going to have you releasing all that He's just given you in His Word to others so that they can be free, so that they can know Him. God would tell you this morning, when you're in a prison, listen for my voice. And then He would say, knowing who I am, listen to my voice, knowing who I am. Know who you're talking to. Know who you're listening to. It says in verse 2, this is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. We need to pay attention to who we're listening to, who we're talking to, whose word we have here. He's the one who made the earth. He made everything. He formed it. He established it. I love, now these are a bunch of $10 theological words, but I love these. And you may want to jot them down because it'll help you to praise the Lord. A lot of times when in the mornings when I have a prayer time, a lot of times I just praise the Lord with these theological terms. But they're great. You may want to write some of them down. Who is He? Who is this one we're listening to? Well, He's sovereign. That means He's in control. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. There's nowhere that He's not. He's eternal. He's always been. He didn't have a beginning. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God existing in three persons. There's one God, but He exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And each person is fully God by Himself. That's who Scripture reveals to us as the God of the Bible. We've put a name on it called Trinity. But that's who God is. He's eternal. Jesus Christ has always been. He didn't begin when He was born in the Virgin Mary. He's the eternal Word of God. God is eternal. He's always been. He always will be. He's infinite. He's infinite in size. We think our universe and the cosmos is big, and as far as we can see with the Hubble telescope and these billions of stars, and He's beyond it all. He's infinite. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's love. He's Abba, Father, your daddy. That's the intimate term What we would call daddy is Abba. Well, who is he? That's who he is. We need to listen for his voice. So God would tell you, when you're in a prison, listen for my voice, knowing who I am. And then, verse 3, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Wow, that's exciting. There's an invitation there to call to Him. God invites you to call to Him. And then He promises, I will answer. God will answer you. When you call to Him, He will answer. And He will always answer in the way that is best. The way that is best for you. The way that will bring Him the most glory. And the way that is best for you. He loves you. He responds when you call to Him. And then He says, I'll tell you great and unsearchable things. The Hebrew phrase for this, that great and unsearchable, the Hebrew phrase often refers to the formidable cities of Canaan. And it's translated, large with walls up to the sky. I like that. God wants to show you great and unsearchable things. That it's like walls that are large and go up to the sky. What's in those walls? What's behind those walls? So God has something. He has these walls and something's inside there. And you're on the outside and there's something great and unsearchable just beyond those walls. But He wants to show you what it is. But He says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. I'll tell you what's behind your wall. Things that you do not know. There are some incredible things you will never know unless you call on Him. Unless you call to Him and you listen and you wait for His answer. Hear God's message for you today. When you're in a prison, listen for my voice, knowing who I am. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And then remember, disobedience is not a pretty picture. It brings my judgment. That's what he would say next. Disobedience is not a pretty picture. It brings my judgment. Look at verses 4 and 5. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the men I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness. Why would these things happen? Why would these things occur? Why would God's wrath come? Why would there be judgment? He said it right there at the end, because of its wickedness. Well, wickedness amounts to disobedience. That's what it is. Wickedness is the result of disobedience. Well, what about in my life? What about in your life? Well, that's when we see God's discipline. When we display wickedness, when we have disobedience, when we disobey the Lord, it always results in heartache. God tells us the wages of sin is death. And we draw ever closer to death. As we sin, it leads toward death. Disobedience leads toward death. When you disobey God, you ever notice the difference? You ever notice the difference when you sin? And things just don't seem to go right and there's heartache. And I know in my own life, when I've sinned, a lot of times, there just seems to be some hardship there. A lot of it's the result of my sin. And sometimes I believe God's just giving me some discipline. Just bringing me back. Reeling me in. Getting me back on the path. Scripture tells us, endure hardship as discipline. You know, discipline is a good thing for children. If you love your children, you'll discipline them. A child left to himself brings shame, the Scripture tells us. All through the Proverbs, the Scripture tells us, that the one who doesn't discipline his son, hates his son, things like this. You read it all through the Proverbs. Discipline is love. Discipline is a result of love. I know when our children disobey, there's discipline. We have different types of discipline. Maybe they get a privilege taken away. Maybe there's a timeout. Maybe there's a little pop. But there's discipline, and it's because we love them. Well, God's no different. He loves you. He wants to keep you on the path. When we live in disobedience and when we disobey, we need to repent. We need to endure that hardship as discipline. We need to come back. So God would tell you, remember, disobedience is not a pretty picture. It brings my judgment. But obedience is a beautiful picture and brings my tremendous blessing. Obedience is a beautiful picture and brings my tremendous blessing. Look at verses 6 through 8. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about you, but abundant healing, peace, security, freedom, rebuilding, forgiveness, cleansing, doesn't that sound good? That's the result of obedience. That's the result of returning to the Lord, obeying the Lord. And I know you've experienced this. I'm sure you can think of times in your life where you knew what the Lord wanted you to do and you obeyed. And you stepped out in faith and you obeyed. And then the blessings that come, just how God blesses that. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful privilege we have to walk with Him. And finally, God would tell you, then you will bring me glory and people will be amazed. Then you will bring me glory and people will be amazed. When? When we obey, we'll bring Him glory. People will be amazed. Look at verse 9. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I will provide for it. I provide for it. Well, you can bring the Lord that in your obedience. You will bring Him renown, joy, praise from everybody who hears about how He's blessed you, what He's done for you. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you want these blessings? Do you want to know what God has behind that wall for you? Call to Him. Obey Him. Follow wholeheartedly. And listen to His message today. When you're in a prison, listen for my voice, knowing who I am. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Remember, disobedience is not a pretty picture. It brings my judgment. But obedience is a beautiful picture and brings tremendous blessing. Then you will bring me glory, and people will be amazed. Let's pray together. Dear God, please help us right now during this invitation time, Lord, to call on You, to ask You, what is it that You have for us? What is it that You're trying to tell us this morning? What is it that You have behind those walls, Lord? We want to be free from our prisons. Lord, speak to us now during this invitation. If there's anyone who needs to give their life to You, Lord, may they call out to You, saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. And I thank You, Lord, that it's that simple, that You do that as we ask. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.